was sent. This is from Alan Hicks, sent this to me. The Run for Kenya is next Saturday, and they're having a volunteer meeting at 5:30 this Thursday at Arsenal Place. Registration for race, call Avery or free registration. Luke and Sam are leading the worship. Donations fund the overhead for the Kenyan doctor, dentist, and nurse they're going to be hiring now that they've got the clinic finished. So it's a great thing. So again, if you want to volunteer, the volunteer meeting is at 5:30 on Thursday, and the race is this Sunday. Does anybody know what time the race is? 7? 7 in the morning? Did I not say Saturday? The volunteer meeting is at 5:30 Thursday. Run the race is Saturday. What time is the race? 9. Okay. Okay. While during worship, I had a real sense of change of direction for today. But then those words that came forth sort of fit what I was planning on doing before. But I still have a real sense that I'm supposed to share this first. So we're going to take a pause from Elijah. And we'll let what we shared last week stew a little bit. And I want to talk to you about walking in peace, because I do believe everything in the Christian life flows from that foundationally. And if you're not walking in peace, it's very difficult to hear God, and of course, very difficult to move forward in advance. So, who wants to pray? Wilkes, you want to pray for me? Go for it. Amen. So this is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Let me read that again. It's a really powerful verse. It carries sort of from ridiculous promises. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. In Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he, Jesus himself, is our peace. A couple of places from the Upper Room Discourse. This is John chapter 14, verse 27. Let me read a few verses earlier. Verse 25. These things, and of these things that he's talking to them about, is about going to the cross. And earlier in this chapter, when he explains to them that he's going to go to the cross, he's going to die, he then has to address them and say, "Let not your heart be troubled." Then he spends a good bit of the next verses explaining to them that just as he's been in the Father, and the Father has been in him, that on the day of Pentecost, though it may have appeared that he's abandoned them in his crucifixion, that in his resurrection and ascension, he was going to pour out the Holy Spirit, and he was going to be in them, and they were going to be in him. And that's kind of the gist of the entire Upper Room Discourse, is that don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that I'm leaving, because it's better for you that I'm leaving, because then I'm going to come and be one with you. Then we're going to know oneness. We're not just going to have fellowship. I'm not just going to be hanging out with you and imparting, anointing to you to go out and do stuff. I'm going to continue to do the stuff that I do and live the life that I live, but it's going to be through your humanity. So that's better. You think it's been cool to this point, us being together, wait until you wear one. Then the adventure gets kicked up a notch. So he's been talking to them about these things, about this change, about him leaving them physically. "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so he says, the peace that I give to you is not like the peace the world gives. Because the peace that the world gives is totally circumstantial. And that we know peace as long as everything's going well and we're in control of everything. He says, my peace is not like that. He says, when you have my peace, your heart's not going to be troubled and you're not going to live in fear. Then in chapter 16, verse 32. I will start verse 31. Jesus said to them, "Do you now believe?" Because they had said in the verse earlier, "Lord, we believe that you came from God." And he says, "Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming, and already has come. It's already on top of us. For you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." So he's saying to them, so you believe now. Well, just give it a few more minutes. Then we'll see. Because things are about to get really ridiculous. Again, he says, but these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have troubles. But take good courage, I've overcome the world. Again, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you'll have peace. Now, he doesn't say, I'm promising you peace because I'm going to make sure there's not any more hassles, there's not going to be any more stresses, there's not going to be any more testings. There are no more difficulties. No more people, ornery people around you. He says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. So it's not the peace like the world gives. Because it's not the cessation of battle. He says, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Pages aren't turning real fast. But once I find what I'm looking for, it'll jump off the page, I think. I hope. This is Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. And the Lord gave all their enemies into their hand, and not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed to come to pass. But if you read on, there are still battles to fight. They never had where there weren't battles to fight in the land of Canaan. The land of victorious Christian living is not a land where there aren't battles to fight. Peace isn't a battleless environment. Having peace is not a conflict-free environment. Knowing peace that passes understanding, the peace, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, twice. He says, what we read in Ephesians, that he himself is our peace. He continually grants us peace in every circumstance. Real peace is something that you know in the midst of conflict and in the midst of battle. It's therefore supernatural, because it can't just be connected and wired to your humanity. Because our humanity is always about when there's fight to flight, that we have a tendency to become anxious. And yet Jesus said things like, be anxious for nothing. That almost sounds like an unfair request. He said, fear not. It literally meant stop being afraid. Only believe. Only believe. In that verse I referenced just a few minutes ago from Philippians 4. This is Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say again, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And I've read a lot of people trying to translate that word forbearing, and it really means calm, steady. Be known to all men. And here's the reason. For the Lord is near. And the language would be better translated, and the Lord's at hand. His presence is here. Then he goes on, he says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I love what he says here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Whether it's prayer or supplication, whether it's just general prayer or you're crying out in faith for some specific thing, again, that's the word supplication. You actually bind yourself to the Lord because of your need, because he's the only one who can answer. He's the only one that can deal with this situation. So this is not just like some mamby-pamby attitude, like you're praying, you're crying out. He said, be anxious for nothing. We had talked about this some last week. We will again next week about Elijah and prayer. Is that anxiety in prayer robs prayer of its power, because everything we do, we must do by faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, here's the key, with thanksgiving. That's the disposition of faith. I mean, you may walk away from that prayer place and not exactly know what God's going to do yet, or how he's going to do it. You've not done your word yet. Maybe it was a short prayer. Maybe it was a prayer, something came up, somebody calls you on your cell phone and tells you something that's upsetting, and you're riding down the road, and so you're just lifting that up to the Lord. and the peace that passes all understanding. You're lifting that up to the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord always. You're lifting that up to the Lord, remembering that God's presence is here. Jesus is with me. Jesus is in me. So my union with Christ covers me on the inside and the circle of reality and circumstances I walk in on the outside. And so whatever I'm offering up to Him, no matter what emergency it might be, it's always, thanks, Lord. See, I'm coming into this rejoicing because You're near. We talked about this the other night, where Moses could see he was unseen. You may not see at all how this is going to work out. He may not have told you yet how this is going to happen. And you can't see it. And if you're trying to find peace in what you can see, you're going to get in trouble. See, when you pray, don't keep your eyes on the thing you're praying for, but keep your eyes on the one whom you're praying to. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, for the Lord is at hand. I like that language. So when somebody's at hand, it's kind of like they're on deck. What I mean by that, they're here. They're here. They're here ready. They're not just near napping. They're on hand. And he says, that's why he says, close it out with what? Thanksgiving. Because I can see Him who's unseen, and what's important is He sees the situation and He sees how He's going to work it out. I don't have to see that. All I have to see is Him. All I've got to know is He at hand. Is He still in me? Is He with me? And if that's true, then as long as He can see, I can be at peace. For the peace of God which passes all understanding, not peace as a gift, but the peace of God. So this is what we're talking about. What happens is, we're not talking about Jesus giving you peace. We're not talking about you praying some prayer, oh God, give me peace about this situation. Peace is a person and the way that person feels, which flows out of the way that person thinks because of the way that person sees. You're in union with Christ. He promised you His peace. He didn't promise to give you peace. He promises to be your peace. Our job is to remember He's here. He's at hand. I'm in union with Him. I can know His peace on the inside. I know He's at peace about everything going on the outside. And I can just give thanks for that. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind stay on these things. The things that you've learned, received, and heard, seen in me, practice these things. And the peace of God shall be with you. The peace of God. Now, here, we've talked about this some lately. Does the enemy like to steal your peace? Because if he can steal your peace, you just can't continue in the battle. You get all bundled up. Then, because it causes you, anxiety and fear turns you inward. And so you get so busy fighting that fire that you're not advancing in faith. So the enemy's always after our faith because the just live by faith. You know, we've said this several times lately. Expectation, faith, expectation and faith move God. Desperation doesn't. Unless desperation has given birth to expectation of faith. And the enemy wants to go after your heart, which is where faith happens. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart. And if he can go after your heart, he can get you all bundled up. But the way he goes after our heart is by attacking our head. And then all of a sudden you start having all these weird feelings. Then we get on the feeling battle. And again, 2 Corinthians doesn't say, take your feelings captive. It says, take your thoughts captive. Thoughts that are raised up against the truth, the knowledge of God. You can't win the fight on the feeling level. Like I posted that little thing last week. Feelings are wonderful sometimes. But they're great followers, but they're terrible leaders. Our trust is in a Him, not in it. Well, I don't feel it anymore. Well, good thing He's near. Good thing you weren't dependent on the it staying or going. So the enemy's going to attack your thought life. And that's where the battle comes in. There's where the renewing of your mind, we do battle with that renewing of our mind. And what is the renewing of our mind? Is it just memorizing a bunch of scripture? I want to pull over on the side of the road and start memorizing more scripture. There'll be some things that God's put in you, some promises that you have. But in the end, renewing of your mind is reminding yourself, remembering in that moment that I died at the cross. And the slave to fear and anxiety was crucified with Jesus. And I'm in union with Him and His emotions. And I have the mind of Christ. And I come into agreement with the mind of Christ. That Christ is my life. And therefore, Jesus, You are my peace. And I say yes to Your peace. And I say yes to Your emotions. Thank You, Lord. And what happens if the feelings don't change yet? They're great followers, but they're terrible leaders. I keep standing in the truth. I've got to stand in reality. I can't show respect to lies. And if the enemy's trying to tell me, no, this is who you are. You're the same fearful, anxious, trying to control. That's a lie. And I just remind myself, remind him, look, you're not dealing with me here. The Lord's at hand. He lives in me. And I'm in union with His peace. It's His peace, I promise. You see, Jesus' peace is based on the way He sees things. What He thinks about what He sees and how He feels about that. That's entering into His rest. It doesn't matter what you see or can't see. All that you need to know is that He's at hand. He's in you, He's with you, and He sees it all. He knows exactly what He's doing. And He's always leading you in His triumph in Christ. It's His peace. His peace. So don't worry about the feelings. If you get bent towards the feelings, you'll start getting anxious about it being anxious. You ever notice that? It's like pouring gasoline on a fire trying to make it go out. It's the thoughts. When that thought comes, well, there's no way this is going to work out. There's no way I can do this. And you stop and go, whoa, 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 whoa. Christ, You're my life. Can You have peace? If I'm one with You, if I'm a branch attached to a vine that has supernatural peace, can You have peace and I not have it? No. So yes, Lord, thank You for Your peace, Your emotions. Can you have joy? You know, we go down the line. Can we have... I was telling the guys at our Keswick night the other night that something happened outside in the context, not here, but sort of a governmental issue. And there was just a person that was not doing right. And so it kind of offended me. And I didn't know how I'm going to deal with it. And the Lord said, so I didn't like the person for a moment. Because it hurt my feelings, one. And it felt threatening for another. And the Lord said to me, Chuck, can I have love for that person and you not have it? I thought, only if I say no. I don't have to go get it somewhere. I don't have to go get it out of the freezer. It's not in storage. He's my life. I'm in union with Him. And just like peace, it's not something far off. It's part of who He is in me. I'm in union with that. And I was able to say, yes, of course. How dare I? This is your story to tell. And you're allowed this situation. That person may be in sin, but you're allowed that situation. And you can see what I can't see. And I can't deal with it, but I know that you can. And you're going to use me, my body, you live in me. So I just thank you, Lord, for your peace. And I thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. I thank you, Lord, for your knowing and your know-how, for your seeing all that I can't see. And if you're at peace about this, I'm at peace about it. Because sometimes in living out His story through us, it can get a little bit sketchy, His story. The dance can have some tricky moves to it. But you have to understand, He's the one who invented the dance. Let me read this one last thing to end. This has been helpful. We have a Song of Solomon conference coming up pretty soon, in a couple weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is one of my favorite places in all the Bible. I love this scripture. Beautiful picture of being in Christ, walking through the wilderness of this fallen world. It says that He's an expert at war. Like this picture of me and Him sharing this chariot and we're being carried above the ground. It's Jesus coming up out of resurrection. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness? Jesus. He's conquered this world. He's conquered death. He's conquered everything you and I will ever face. That's why Jesus said, I'll give you my peace. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've already overcome the world. Every step of the journey you're about to take, I've already taken it. And I've already kicked booty all the way. So, it doesn't matter that you don't know what's coming around the corner. I've already been around that corner and smash mouth around the corner. So He says, Just poetic language about being in Christ. And behold, I'm on the traveling couch of Solomon with him, 60 mighty men around it, of the mighty men of Israel, all of them welders of sword. Now listen to this. Expert in war. Hear me. Whatever battle you're going through, you're in Christ, and He's an expert at that battle. He's already fought that kind of battle, proven Himself victorious. He's an expert at it. So you don't have to figure it all out. This, you can have His peace. He's not worried about it. He's not anxious. He's not wringing His hands. He's an expert at this war. He's already an expert. You have an expert with you who's never lost a battle. And He was tempted in every way just like you are. So every battle you fought, He has already fought. He's already proven. He's a winner. Spiritual warfare isn't about you and the devil. It's about the devil and Jesus. You're in Jesus. You're in Christ. As long as the devil can get you to emotionally and mentally pull out as if you're walking alongside yourself and you're this person dealing with him, he's Gaia. What scares him to death is for you to figure out the guy that already kicked his rear end is one with you. And he's the expert in war, and you're going to let him do the battles. And you'll trust him so much, he didn't have to give you the battle plan to have peace. The peace comes from knowing he's the expert in war. Each man with a sword at his side, guarding against the terror of the night. Man. You see, the things that we can't see are scary. He's not scared of the terrors of night. He's an expert at war, and he's an expert of night warfare. The enemy can't throw anything at him that's a surprise, anything at him that's bigger than him. He's at hand. He's in you. You're in him. The scenes that he's telling through you, he's well-versed for them already. He's gifted for it. So he told him in 2 Chronicles, the battle's not yours, but God's. So you can turn your head off and try to stop figuring it out, because if you can understand it, then you feel like you have some control, and then you'll have some peace. It's a peace that passes understanding. Thank God for that. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.